Hello, today is Monday, March 25th, and welcome to episode 314 of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you quickly up to speed three times a week on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. I'm NSI Deputy Executive Director Jessica Jones, and today I'm joined once again this week by our very special guest, John Lipsey, NSI's own Director of Policy, and our two favoritest senior fellows, Les Munson and Morgan Vigna. On Friday, gunmen armed with automatic weapons attacked a massive shopping and entertainment venue on the outskirts of Moscow. They ended up setting it on fire, leaving over 130 people dead. The assault followed U.S. government warnings from this month about a planned terrorist attack on the Russian capital. Later that night on Friday, the Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attack, and it sits as one of the most deadly in modern Russian history. Just as an update, on Sunday, Russian officials formally charged four men in the attack, and they've detained a handful more. Putin called the attack a planned and organized mass murder of innocent and defenseless people, and he promised swift retaliation. He claimed also that the assailants had been trying to escape via Ukraine, and I quote, where according to preliminary data, a window for them to cross the state border was prepared by the Ukrainian side. Ukrainian officials have denied any involvement in the attack. And the attack, which indicates Russia's ongoing vulnerability to terrorist attacks, comes days after Putin's presidential election victory with over 88% of the vote, which is the highest percentage in a presidential election in post-Soviet Russia. So Putin has, you know, over the years put together and cultivated this image of a strongman defending, you know, law and order in Russia. What do we think this attack means for his image as a strongman? You know, what does this do to him domestically? Less.
Well, it doesn't help Putin domestically at all. That's why he's blaming Ukraine. It's completely opportunistic. He's trying to use this attack to further his war aims there. I think this comes as no surprise. I presume the Russian people who have been subjected to this propaganda for a long time kind of see that for what it is and realize that the war in Ukraine has taken Putin and the Russian government's eye off the ball in terms of security. I think the more interesting big question and big issue here is the very likely perpetrator, ISIS Khorasan, which is an arm of the Islamic State, which is an outshoot of Al-Qaeda from years ago. It is based in Afghanistan. Our pullout there 3 years ago has enabled ISIS-K to prosper. They've had attacks in Iran. Now in Moscow, they killed Americans in Afghanistan during the pullout. So I think the real long-term story here for U.S. policymakers, aside from the implications for the Ukraine war, is that we have let the global terrorists out of the box again. The Biden administration is going to have to answer for this. They're going to need a plan to deal with ISIS-K because almost certainly they're planning future attacks in the United States. And given how successful they've been, that is a very real threat we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah. Morgan, what do you think, you know, the implications are, you know, one of this attack potentially on the conflict, whether that's support across the Russian populace for ongoing, fight in Ukraine, whether it's, you know, to Les's point, folks getting angry that they've taken their eye off of terrorism occurring within their own borders. And what do you think of the renewed, you know, we've now got ISIS-K on the front of our headlines where they have not been for a while. You know, what do you think U.S. policymakers are thinking right now?
Sure. So I think there are sort of two points here. One is sort of on the Russian side and how Putin's going to respond to this specifically with his insinuation that Ukraine had something to do with this. And then sort of the global implications, right? This attack was hugely embarrassing for Vladimir Putin. Not only is he dealing with a lot of dissent in country, but he's also got this war in Ukraine that he's desperately trying to salvage a win for Russia here. And so we've seen Russian officials and Putin specifically, you know, coming out insinuating that, you know, this was all a massive plot by Ukrainian security services. We've seen deep fakes coming out, you know, trying to implicate Ukrainian security officials. Bottom line, this is a huge embarrassment for Russia. Russia is no stranger to terrorist attacks. ISIS hates Russia just as much as they hate the United States, Europe, the Syrian government, Iran. I mean, just about everyone is on ISIS-K's hit list here. So I don't think it's any surprise that, you know, they would target Russia. My concern is that Europe is next. We've already seen ISIS strike major European cities. I mean, I think we remember the 2015 Bataclan attack in Paris. Again, this is highly concerning. A lot of it, I agree with Les, does stem from the U.S. withdrawal in Afghanistan and the ability for ISIS to reconstitute itself and really project attacks across the globe. My concern is that the U.S. homeland is on their list.
I mean, John, what do you think about that? Morgan laid out a hit list, which contains pretty much everyone else that ISIS can't go after. And, you know, we've seen thwarted attacks, whether it's New Year's Day attacks, with, you know, growing number of plots in Europe. You know, what do you think our intelligence community is making of this? Are, you know, do you think Americans should start to worry about their own borders and what could occur here?
Yeah, I think that ISIS is posing a increasing threat. And I just think that's empirically the case based on the attacks that they've been able to conduct within the last year or 6 months. You know, what I'm concerned about is that our intelligence community seems to be captured to a degree by the political debate or the policy debate over Afghanistan, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the United States. And the reason I say that is I took a look, you know, we have two reports that were issued on the threat posed by ISIS around the same time at the end of January, early February, one by the UN. It was the Secretary General's 18th report on the threat posed by ISIS. And the other was our national intelligence assessment, both issued around the same time. And both of these reports were issued after attempted attacks by ISIS in Europe last year that were thwarted, and then the successful attack in Iran in early January. And so, you know, if you look at the UN report, it appears to reflect what we see and know to be the case. It says that member states continue to consider the group as the greatest threat within Afghanistan, with the ability to project a threat into the region and beyond. It noted the existence of the operational plots in Europe in July and August last year. There's also the successful attack in Iran. And then, you know, they also confirmed that the leader of ISIS-K is in Afghanistan, in Kunar province. And then you look at our intelligence community's report, and all it has really to say about ISIS-K is that it's trying to conduct attacks that undermine the legitimacy of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. And then, you know, Senator Collins, in a hearing in the Senate, asked Avril Haines directly about ISIS and the threat posed by ISIS from Afghanistan. And her response was that most of the attacks taken on globally have occurred by parts of ISIS outside of Afghanistan. And then she went on to describe how the Taliban's taking the fight to ISIS-K. So that's a very, that's not a response that gives our Congress or the American people the ability to see the threat for what it is and put in place the measures that are needed to respond to it and to, you know, hold the administration, frankly, accountable for whether it's reckoning with and responding to the threat in the way that it needs to keep the American people safe.
So basically, the UN is doing a better job than RIC in warning us on terrorist threats.
The UN, that's
I just needed a yes there. Yes. I was wondering how it could might be edged, but it was a yes. Less.
John, faith and confidence in our intelligence community.
John, are you saying that our intelligence reports have become politicized?
I am. Yeah, or it appears to be.
That's a couch to answer. There we go. There's a hedge. I knew I'd get one hedge out of him. That's a wrap. Thanks to Devlin, Bernie, Claude Jennings, special guest John Lipsey, and the rest of the NSI team for their help in producing today's episode. Join us again on Wednesday, March 27th, for another episode of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you smart fast on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. We've got two people today wearing NSI swag, so if you want to see who that is, please check us out on YouTube. And if you like what you heard or saw, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.